St. Luke chapter 24, verse number 32. Verse number 32. If you read this verse real fast, you're going to miss something here. But listen here. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did you catch this now? It's important here. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Amen. You may be seated if you want to. Something here I want you to notice. In backing up, we know that this chapter is the story of the resurrection of Jesus and how that Mary Magdalene and the others went to the sepulcher that day to anoint him with spices and all the things that they were going to do. And you may say, man, you plumb out of whack here. Easter's not yet come. I understand. That's not really where I'm going. I just want you to stay with me here just a minute. And they went there, and all of a sudden the stone was rolled back. They poked their head in, and the tomb was empty. Oh, hallelujah. And standing there right then, Brother Randy, they did not understand what kind of preaching that would make for you and me. Oh, come on here. I mean, him taking the stripes and dying on the cross and all the ridicule and everything that he took was tremendous and outstanding. And when he died, that was something he'd done for you and me. But if the story would have stopped there, he would have been no different than any other man. But there was something different about this third day. There was a reason for that tomb being empty. Hallelujah. You talking about revival in the graveyard. My. Oh, I'd have loved to have seen that light that blinded all of them and caused them to fall down. And I'd like to have seen that stone being rolled away. I'd like to have just seen it. Amen. But here we have him. They said, he's not here, but he's risen. And don't you remember when he said this was going to happen? They all got excited and they began to run and begin to tell others. And everybody got excited. We find him here. He speaks to them and he says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you're sad? What he's trying to say is, don't you understand that what I've told you is going to happen, and it's happened, and now you're sad? If you only understood what took place here. Oh, help me here a few more minutes. Amen. And he began to talk to them just a little longer, and they were as a stranger to them, and they began to try to tell him and get him to understand. I can almost imagine their mentality. I'm trying to tell this stranger, trying to give him all the background of everything that's taking place. And they begin to try to tell him. And then finally over here in the verse 25, he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And then they go on down him. And from then on, he begins to preach to them, and he starts at Moses and goes all the way down about the things concerning himself and everything that's to take place and that has taken place. And I mean, he just preached to them. You talking about revival with the Son of God resurrected, walking down Emmaus Road. I mean, talking to him, they was having revival. Oh, man. I mean, you talking about a prayer meeting or a discussion or a brother's meeting or a men's meeting. Those guys were having it, amen, with the Son of God. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I want to preach to you just a few minutes. simply on the smoke won't do. Amen. Amen. Brother Danny started the first song. He didn't know what the Lord dealt with me on this morning. He didn't know what the Lord had spoke to me. But listen, I want you to understand something here. When we got saved, there was a fire started in us. And there was something started burning. We mentioned Jeremiah said it's like a fire shut up in my bones in the book of Exodus. The law required that the fire on the altar should never go out. And could I remind you that if the fire on the altar never goes out and we stay on the altar, that means the fire in us will never go out. Oh, God. In a lost and dying world, amen, people going to eternity at breakneck speed, what we do not need to do is lose our fire. Hey, man, a church in the middle of this place right here. You look around and say there's not a bit of potential. Don't you let the devil lie to you. I mean, we'll build a fire in this place that'll warm the hearts of men and women. I mean, we need to have a church so fired up that they do not come in and leave satisfied. I mean, yeah, come in and get saved and be satisfied. But don't let them come in and be comfortable. Don't let them come in and say, oh, this is a beautiful church. That was a good sermon. That was really good. I mean, let's get to the place that when they come, they'll feel the fire of God. Oh, come on here. And when we pray for our lost loved ones, when we pray for them that's in trouble, let's pray that the fire be ignited. Hey, we don't need the smoke. The smoke ain't enough. We need the fire. Oh, God. I know the saying is, where there's smoke, there's fire. That's sometimes the truth. But sometimes when it's just smoke, you got to blow on it, you got to move it around and stoke it up to get the fire rolling. We better keep the fire of God rolling in our soul tonight. Oh, you know why? There's people watching us. There's people watching us on Monday morning. They want to see what kind of attitude you have after Sunday night service. And we need to have a fire in our soul. Amen. Amen. First thing I want you to notice, there was a change made in these guys. They knew more after he quit talking than they did before. Amen. And I've said it before like this, about the most simple way I know how to say it. If when you get an experience with God, if there is not a change made, you didn't get it. Come on, help me here. If the change is not made, then friends, you didn't get it. Go back and dip again until the change is made. Until the fire is ignited. Until you start feeling the heat and the warmth of God. Begin to talk to your soul and begin to bless your heart. I mean, there's a change made when something takes place. When you walk and you talk with God and you're close enough to Him. One preacher preached and he said, when you're close to God, close enough to Him, that you can feel His heartbeat. He said, you're pretty close to God. He said, that means you got your head laying on His chest. And He said, you must be in the arms of an everlasting God when you're close enough to feel the heartbeat and hear the rhythm of His heart and feel Him breathing. I mean, you must be close to Him when you walk and you talk with Him and He expounds to you and He helps you. It better put a burn in your heart. It better light a fire in your soul. I mean, something that gets a going and it just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. I know the trouble comes and heartache comes, but let us not get to the place that the least little puff of wind can take out our fire. Oh, come on here. Let us not be like a reed shaking in the wind, but let us establish ourselves and let us get strong in the Lord. And then so when the battle's time, we don't get weary and say, well, I'm going to be out this time. But let's say, no. I prayed long enough. I prayed hard enough. I fasted long enough till I've got a fire that'll me stand. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A change made. A change made. Oh, yeah. Smoke won't do. Smoke won't do. Amen. I passed by a few churches. They were standing on the outside, sending up smoke signals. Ain't going to cut it. Had a little bitty fire about that long, about right here somewhere. That ain't going to cut it. That little bitty fire ain't going to cut it. I mean, it ain't going to get you there. Matter of fact, it's going to knock you out of there. Oh, God, help us. I mean, it ain't going to work. It just ain't part of it. That's not part of the plan. Amen. But I'm talking about something that gets in your heart and puts a light in you. I mean, that the devil says, hey, wait just a minute here. I mean, they got a hold of something that's absolutely changed their life. Oh, I mean, let's get a hold of a fire that causes him to have to turn around and regroup and say, I can't get close to them now. They're too hot. They're too fired up. I've got to come at a different angle. I've got to change my tactics. But just keep the fire going. I said the smoke won't do. When trouble comes, you'll die. When trouble comes, it'll blow you out. And you won't have nothing. But keep the fire burning. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yes. Their eyes were opened. Amen. Their eyes were open. They saw things in a different light. They saw things at a different angle. They understood things. There was things that become reality to them. Amen. One thing better be reality to us today. As that if the heart's not burning, if the heart ain't on fire, we are not going to last. We are not going to last. We can call ourselves what we want to call ourselves. But if the fire of God's not burning, and we just got a little bitty smoke going up, I mean, I know they send smoke signals up, somebody in distress. They'll send a smoke signal up. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you what I do believe. I do believe that if I was ever caught in that situation and I had one match, I wouldn't light me a little something for smoke. I'd set the whole woods on fire. Come on here. Come on here. You heard about California years ago, a few years ago, when they set the place on fire. I mean, they said it was somebody camping, I think, or whatever. I don't remember what the problem was. But they caught the whole place on fire, and it made national news, and everybody knew about it. I mean, I'll tell you what they'd do. If I was to be in distress like that, I'd set the whole place on fire, and they'd know where it was at. They'd see the smoke, and not only would they see the smoke, but they'd see the fire, and they'd say, hey, something's going on here, and I might get in trouble for setting a fire, but I wouldn't die out there in the wilderness either, would I? Come on here. I mean, oh, I know the devil's going to come. I know he's going to push you around. He's going to try to. He's going to try to get the upper hand. But if you're too hot for him to touch, if you're too hot for him to handle, he's not going to get very close. Matter of fact, while he's trying to get close, you can pray and say, oh God, rekindle the fire. Light the fire. Put something in me that'll keep me all the way. Amen. Amen. There's just something about that fire down deep inside. Something about that fire deep inside. Some things, Brother Morton, you can't put words to. You try to explain them, and you can't explain them. It's just something in you. You just have to say. Just like when the man said, is there any good thing? Come out of Nazareth. He said, come see. Come see. People ask you questions sometimes that you really don't have the right answer to, or you're kind of afraid to answer them. Just say, come see. Come see. Amen. I was working on a job one time in Lexington, and as a hot carrier and a block carrier, and
Man, I'm telling you what, this company, I'd work for some fellows and we'd pack, you know, two block, one in each hand. Why, if that's all you packed with this company, they'd just about throw you out and fire you. I learned how to carry, I believe it was 4 12-inch block at one time. I learned how to do that. And I mean, they wouldn't set them block close to where they'd land them. I'd have to walk over the length of this church across the job to pack that stuff. And, well, one day, it got a little easier on me, and they put me up. We was building the W.T. Young Library in Lexington. Everybody knows where it's at. We was up on one side of it there, way up high. It was so high, they had to, somebody down on the ground was mixing the mud, standing up with a crane. But they put me with this guy, and his name was Richard. We worked one day for half a day, and he had never said a word to me. I tried to say something to him. He wouldn't say nothing back. So I just let it go. We went to lunch and come back, and we worked about an hour, same old thing. Well, I had plenty of brick out there for him, plenty of mud out there for him. I just kind of standing around, just, you know, he's working away. Never say that's an awkward situation. Never said nothing to me. Finally, after about an hour, he said, "Somebody told me you're a preacher." I said, "Yeah, that's right." "Well, it won't do you no good to start preaching to me." I looked at him and I said, "I haven't said nothing to you about it." "Well, I know, but I figured at any time you're going to start." I said, "No, not necessarily. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't believe in God." I said, "Is that so?" "Well, yeah, it's so. I don't believe in God." He said, "Don't you waste any time telling me anything about God." I said, "Okay. What about them trees over there?" "Don't worry about the tree. Don't start that mess. I've had this before. No, it ain't going to do you no good." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll pray for you." "It ain't going to do you a bit of good to pray for me. Don't you pray for me." I laid a brick down and I said, "Richard, you don't have to talk to me. That's your choice. But there's one thing you cannot do, and that stopped me from praying for you." "Well, that won't do you no good." I said, "We'll see about that." This happened to be on a Wednesday night. And Brother Sparks happened to ask me to take prayer requests by providence of God. I got up and I told him what I just told you. And I said, "I really feel in the depths of my heart." And I looked at the clock. I said, let's remember what this time was. I don't remember now exactly what it was. Maybe 7:30 or something, I don't know. 20 minutes late, I don't remember what it was. But I said, "I'd like to ask the church, if you really believe that God can go to Richard right now, wherever he's at, and touch him and let him know that God is real, that's all I ask. If you really believe God can, stand up. If you don't stand up." The whole church, obviously, stood up. And we prayed for a long time. The Holy Ghost moved, swept through that place. I mean, God's power come by. And then nothing, you know, nobody said nothing. No prophecy, no nothing. Just a good prayer. And went on, finished prayer request. And service was ended. Went to work the next day. And old Richard started the same thing again. Wouldn't say nothing. Wouldn't speak to me. I said, "That's okay. I did my part. We'll see what happened." Well, we went to lunch that day. All half of that day, he never said nothing. After lunch, about an hour or two, he couldn't stand it. "What'd you do last night?" Yeah. Well, I said, "Just what do you mean? What did I do last night? I told you I was going to church." "Well," he said, "I just need to talk to you for a minute." I said, "Yeah, Richard, go ahead. What is it?" "Well," he said, "I really don't know what took place. But," he said, "all I know is I was in my apartment. And," he said, "I went to the refrigerator and I pulled out a big cold Budweiser in the bottle. He said, I popped the top on it and just the ice cold steam rolled out of it.
And he said, I sit down to take a drink of that. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, there was something come in that room where I was at. He said, I never felt that before in my life. He said, I don't understand what it was. He said, but I had to pour out that beer in the sink and let it go down the drain. He said, I couldn't take a drink of it. And he said, I just had to sit there and feel what I was feeling. He said, and I want you to tell me just what it was. I said, I'll tell you what it was. I said, my whole church stood to their feet and asked the presence of a living God to come where you was. And I said, it was God that came where you was. I said, it was the glory of a living God. It was the creator of these trees. It was the creator of that blue sky. I said, it was the creator of you and me. I said, it was the very God that breathed the breath of life in a man. I said, that was what you felt. I said, it was the presence of an almighty God. He said, I'll never say there's not a God. He said, because I've never felt that ever in my life. He said, I appreciate your prayers. I said, I told you that you couldn't keep me from prayer. I said, nor can you keep God's glory away from your life. I'm preaching about a fire that'll bleed over and get on somebody else and let them know that there is a God. It'll take more than the smoke. We'll have to have the fire. Amen. We'll have to have the fire. I wanted more than anything for God to touch him. And God did. God did. And you know what was so ironic about it? They left me for Richard for 2 days. Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday we prayed. Wednesday God touched him. Thursday he told me about it. Friday they moved me to somebody else. What do you know? Just what do you know? Come on here. I'm telling you, everything God does, He does it for a purpose. Just take notice who you sit by next time in them classes. Just take notice. Just look at them. Pray before you go and ask the Lord. This fire that's in me, don't let me hide it under a bushel. Don't let me cover it up. But Lord, when I go in there, I want you to let the heat of that fire and the brightness radiant from me and jump over to them and touch them with your power. It can happen. And then when they open the door and they start asking you questions, oh my, you start preaching right then. I mean, start telling them right then. How about the job site? The person you're working next to in the cubicle next door. Hey, come on here. You worked with them for years and years or maybe months and months. But how about just going in with a little different attitude and saying, oh God, let me get to them today. Open the door. Open the door. I'm not going to live forever. They're not either. They need to know about Jesus. They need to know. They need to feel what I'm a living. They need to feel what I am. They need to know. I don't mean go in and wear a sign that says I'm a Christian. Go to the Fall at Pentecostal Holiness Church. Amen. Just have it hanging all over you. But go in with maybe not the actual sign there, but go in with something about your life that makes it different. Come on here. I mean, this stuff's been preached for years and years. I know. I'm just trying to challenge us tonight and tell you that the smoke will not do. The smoke won't get their attention, but I'm telling you, a raging fire will cause them to say, hey, there's something different about them. We was driving up the road with the pastor in Virginia just a few days ago, just driving along, and all of a sudden we seen a bunch of fire, a bunch of smoke, and a bunch of things over on our left-hand side, and looked, and there was the whole woods was on fire there. And we turned around and come back for a closer look. I mean, it got our attention. It diverted our attention from the direction we was going. And we went up there and checked it out. Come to find out, a man died in that fire. Amen. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. When it gets inside of you, it'll change you. Let me tell you something else here. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, something we can find out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know the story. No sense of going back into all that. But we know the story of where they wound up. They wound up in the furnace of fire, heated 7 times hotter. And it was so hot that whenever the men threw them in there, it was so hot that it consumed them, burned them up, and killed them. They died right on the spot. I mean, right there. There was no question about it. And three Hebrew boys just thrown in there, bound with their ropes, whatever it was, and thrown in there, and they just begin to walk around like it was nothing. And they fell down in the midst of the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he rose up in haste and in a hurry, and he went to his counselors and he said, "Hey, wait a minute." He said, didn't we cast 3 men into the fire? I know you've heard this preached before. Bear with me just a few more minutes. I'm just about through. And he said, "Hey, love, didn't we cast 3 of them in there?" "Well, yeah. I mean, we sure did." He said, "Well, why is it?" In verse 25, he said, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Do you ever read anywhere before that Nebuchadnezzar had ever met the Son of God? I don't read where he ever met him, but when he laid his eyes on him, he knew who he was. He said he was like unto the Son of God. You know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fire? It's because the fire that was in their soul was hotter than their trouble. It was hotter than their problem. It was hotter than their situation. And God brought them out. And God delivered them. Why? It was more than just smoke. But it was fire. It was fire. It was fire. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of God we're serving. Very much able to deliver. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. I mean, He can do it. I mean, He can do it. He most certainly can do it. There's not nothing that He cannot do. And what He's wanting is for you and I to absolutely turn it over to Him. Luke 12:49 said, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" Oh, come on here. If He were to come tonight, what would He find? What would He find? Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what? I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to tell you just how I feel. I feel like God's going to help you. I really do. I really feel like God's going to help you. But you know what it'll take? Absolutely everybody in the place to come together and say, "Oh, God, light a fire and kindle a fire, so that the blaze is so high that when they pass by the church, they'll feel God." Oh, God. We've had them pass by our home church. It's right on the road. I mean, you could stop your car and get out and walk just a very few feet, and you was on the doorstep of the old church. And there was several times that people would just come in the back door and sit down, and they'd say, "I passed by here, and I felt something and just had to come in." I'm not saying my church is better than yours. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying we've got to get to the place that they feel it. And not only feel it, but they come and they get what they need from God. They come in one way and leave a different way. Amen. Amen. Oh, God. The problem we have sometimes is new converts come, and we quickly jump onto them and open their mouth wide and just start shoving stuff down. Come on. Hey, don't take me wrong. I believe in wholeness from here to here. I do.
I do. And you ask anybody who knows me, I do. I mean, from A to Z, everything that that book says about wholeness, I believe it. But I also believe that when God saves them, God will change them. I said, God will change them. God will make them different. Hey, come on here. I mean, we're talking about a God that's got a plan drawn out. And when they come, God will. Why would God save them and then not change them? He'll do it. I said, He'll do it. He'll make them different. Hey, hallelujah. I mean, it starts a fire. They said, get not our hearts. Burn within us. Oh, glory to God. Hey, let them come. Let them come. Let them fill the altars up. Let them come as they are. But I'm telling you, when they get a hold of God, they will change. Yes. Yes. They'll change. Let's not get to the place that the preacher, the evangelist, the pastor, Sunday school teacher has to keep going back and pulling up things and preaching and teaching on them again. We're far enough along in this thing now, we ought to be past all that. We're far enough along now that when the new converts come in, they're the only ones that should need that thing. I was preaching in a church and there was a situation come up and the Lord dealt with me to preach on it. It was our home church. The Lord dealt with me to preach on it. We was youth leader. The Lord dealt with me to preach on it. And it was a little matter that the pastor should have been the one to preach on it. And I should have let him do it. But it hit me. It was out before I thought. And I said, why? After we've been in it all these years, do we have to pull this back up and preach down this line again when the house ain't got any new converts in it? It's just the home folks. There's nobody new. Why are we pulling this back out and preaching on this thing again? And I named some things. There was some there that was doing some things that I saw and I knew was not right. And the pastor knew it too. But it just didn't hit him like that, I don't guess. And I preached it, and he come to my house after service, and he said, he wasn't compromising. Don't take me wrong. Brother Sparks, good man. He wasn't compromising. He said, whew. He said, son, don't you think you got a little tight and rough on that tonight? I said, well, I don't know. I said, I really felt like preaching that. I really did. I honestly felt like going down that line. He said, man, I don't know. He said, we may have some repercussions over that. I said, we may do it. But I said, let's look tomorrow and see if there's any difference. Next service rolled around. Man, it was all gone. It was all different. As far as I know, it's not been back since. Not nothing I done. But there was something about that fire. Reach out to where they was and burnt that up and got it out of there. And they changed. They quit it. They got away from it. They got rid of it. I mean, the weight and the stem, they got rid of it. They moved on a little further and got past it. I'm telling you, let's get past it tonight. Let's let the fire of God purge us. Let's let the fire of God make us pure gold. I mean, burn it and burn it and get it till it's right. Get it till it's good. Get it till it's absolutely pure. Oh, help me here just a minute or two more. I mean, let's get it burnt hot enough that everything bubbles to the top and the dross is scraped off. All the impurities is scraped off. I know it ain't popular, but it's the only way we're going. I mean, let the fire of God absolutely burn and purge our soul and get rid of all the things that would cause us to miss out on glory. Let it get us and give us nothing but absolutely fire burning in our soul. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm telling you, the smoke won't do. It won't do. It won't do. It won't do. You ever tried to fry a hamburger on smoke? You
you could stand there in your eternity. You know, you're going to get so much of smoked up fresh meat. Now, I know that you can light the fire and get it hot and put it out, and the coals are hot enough to fry it. I understand that. But I like that charbroil taste. Amen. You know what? When I got saved, I was born into the fire. And the smoke won't do. I ain't satisfied with smoke today. I've got to have a fire. I've got to have a fire. And it depends on where you're from. If you're from the north, it's fire. If you're from Kentucky, it's fire. No matter how you say it, it's still the same thing. Hallelujah. Ah, come on here. It's still hot. It's still got to burn. It's still got to be bright enough that the world can see that you're saved. Stand if you will. Get that song ready. We're going to pray tonight. I appreciate the Lord coming by. I appreciate the Lord helping us. Oh, ain't God good. Oh, ain't God good. Amen. When we get to where we're not excited about coming to the house of God, the fire's going down. When we get to where the messages don't touch us, somebody's fire's going down. When we get to where we're not excited about living holy before God, somebody's fire's going down. Yeah. Hey, I believe Brother Martin's a good enough man that if he looked at me and he saw that I was getting weak and getting weary and my fire was going down, I believe he'd start fanning. I believe it'd start blowing. I believe it'd say, son, you better tighten up. You better get a hold of it. Your fire's getting weak. You're getting a little cold. You're going to be lukewarm before it's over, and he's going to spew you out if you're not real careful. You need to tighten up. You need to get a little closer. Listen, if you look across the aisle and you see somebody that's just about ready to go out, and all they're going to have is a bunch of smoke. I mean, start a blowing, start waving, start panning, start shaking their foundation. Say, look, man, look, woman, look, sis, look, brother, you better tighten up. You better get a hold of it. The devil's on your tail. And if you're not careful, he's going to snuff your fire out. Let's get a hold of God and have fire tonight. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. Come, come, I've preached long enough. Oh, God. Come, let's talk to God. Fill up this altar.